All right, brethren, let's turn to our text, which is John chapter 4. And we'll be starting in verse 43, working our way to the end of the chapter with verse 54. Now, the text here regards the healing of a boy. He's the son of a nobleman, someone who is a royal ruler or officer there, and he dwells in Capernaum. Now, we're told here by John that this is the second miracle that Christ did in Galilee. In Galilee, right? He did many miracles, especially down there in Jerusalem so far, but this is the second one done in Galilee. Look at verse 54. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. And we know that the first one was when he went to Cana, and now he's going to come back there to Cana. And that first one was at the wedding when he changed the water into wine. All right? Now, the thing about this miracle that really catches my eye about it, and what John is highlighting here for us, is really the healing of this nobleman. Right, there's a healing of his son, and that is the miracle that John references. But what we see here is the healing of this nobleman. And what I mean by that is our Lord grows this man's faith. This man is looking to this Jesus of Nazareth as the miracle worker. He's a worker of miracles, this guy is. Right? And so he's coming to him that his son would be saved. But what the Lord does for this man is that he turns him from beholding him as a miracle worker to know and understand that this is the prophet of God whom Moses said, I am to hear. And he hears his word and he believes. So he turns him from being dependent upon signs and wonders, as the evil generation requires, to being one who hears the word of Christ and believes his word, trusts him and rests in him. I titled this message, He Believed the Word. And what I first want to look at with you is, what is a prophet's honor? What is it to honor a prophet? Well, it's to hear their word and to believe, to obey the word of this prophet, that God has spoken to this one, and he comes with that word from the Lord, and it's an honor to him that we hear his word and believe him. Now, interestingly, as I was thinking about this, you know, sometimes seeing, right, which they saw the miracle, sometimes seeing seems to be prioritized over hearing in the scriptures. Right? I was thinking of Job, who was taught of the Lord. We know that he was tried and exercised. His faith, the faith that God had given him, was proved by the Lord to show Job what he had need of seeing. And we know that at the end of the book of Job in 42, verse 5 and 6, he says, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Right? So we see where seeing was necessary. He heard, but he needed to see, showing that, you know, we see our Lord, we hear, right? In a classroom, for example, you hear the text and you hear the lecture of the teacher, but it's when you go out into the world and you put to practice what you've heard that you begin to really know it by experience, right? You see it in action, the truth of what's been told to you. And another example would be Isaiah, right? In Isaiah 6, he's a prophet of the Lord, but then he sees the Lord in his temple, and his train gloriously fills the temple, and he says, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, because he saw the Lord, and he saw now what he was, right? and then he was able to hear the Lord. All right, but here, these people in our text, they've seen a lot of things, but they are not hearing God's word by his prophet, our Lord and Savior, the prophet of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our text begins with verse 43. I want to talk about this honor, right, of a prophet. It says, now after 2 days, Christ departed thence, or from there. Where was he coming from? Samaria. He had been in Samaria for 2 days, and now he goes into Galilee. And what I understand John wants us to understand is that he went into the countryside of Galilee. All right, he went to the countryside. He did not go to Nazareth. Right, Nazareth is where he grew up. He was brought up there, and they knew him and his family there. And so why? Why did he not go to Nazareth in Galilee? Right, because Nazareth was part of Galilee, but he goes to Galilee, and I'm telling you, he went to the countryside. Well, John tells us in verse 44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Right? He's not going to have honor in Nazareth. And when the Lord testifies something to us, he shows it. He shows you what he means in his testimony that a prophet hath no honor. Now, I believe we can see what John is talking about here if you go over to Luke chapter 4. Look there in Luke chapter 4, because he captures what happened in Nazareth, that where Christ said a prophet hath no honor in his own country. All right, so Luke 4, and we'll pick up in verse 14. Now, this is after Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Spirit of God testified, this is the Lamb of God, right? The Spirit as a dove rested upon him. And John the Baptist testified, this is the Lamb of God sent to take away the sin of the world. And immediately after that, we read in the Gospels that he was taken off into the wilderness for 40 days and nights, and there tempted of the devil. Right? So now this is after that temptation, and verse 14 says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And we know that he read from Isaiah 61, chapter 61, and speaking of the Christ, and then tells them, this day is this word fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, verse 22, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? So for a moment there, they're amazed, listening to the words that are coming out of his mouth. And then they realized, then they stumbled over the fact that, wait a minute, isn't this Joseph's son? Right? They were wondering for a while there. And so Christ responds to them of Nazareth on this very point in verse 23. Luke 4:23, he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. All right, so this is what John is referring to when Christ said to those of Nazareth that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And that's because his gracious words, the words of this prophet, the prophet of the Lord who was sent to save his people, they were not enough for him. They would need to see signs and wonders. They needed to see something from this one before they would hear his words. And our Lord, he would declare the truth of God. He was going to now show them what he means by, you're not going to honor me. You're not going to hear what I have to say. How does he do that? Well, he begins to declare the sovereign grace of God, where God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will have compassion on whom he will have compassion. So he declared, what did he tell them? He tells them of Elijah and Elisha, how the Lord sent them to Gentiles, or ministered, they ministered to Gentiles, right? He said there was many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, but the Lord didn't send Elijah to any of them, save to a Gentile woman in Sidonia, right? And there she heard his word and obeyed the word, and she lived. And there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha, but he didn't send Elisha to any of them, but rather he brought Naaman, the leper, who was from Syria, a Gentile. And they both heard the prophet speak, and they believed. What happens, verse 28 and 29? All they in the synagogue there in Nazareth, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they would have killed him if they had power to do it, right? But they had no power. It wasn't his time. So he walked through the midst of them and went his way. And he didn't go back there, right? He didn't go back there. And what John is doing is he's showing us this. He's teaching us this. He's bringing this out. Verse 43 says, after 2 days, he departed from Samaria, which is where the Gentiles were, right? The half-Jews. They were Jewish people. And Christ spent 2 whole days there, and we're told in verse 41 that many believed because of his own word. His word. We don't read of any real miracles being done there by Christ that impressed them. They heard his word and believed, this is the prophet here. And these are Gentiles who heard it. Now he goes back to the Jews, and he doesn't even go to Nazareth because he receives no honor from them, all right? They needed signs and wonders that they would receive the miracle worker. And that's actually what we're going to see with those of Galilee, these Jews there. They were receiving Christ the miracle worker, or rather Jesus the miracle worker. And they didn't want to hear the word of God's prophet, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the very Lamb of God sent to take away the sin of his people scattered throughout the world. All right, so I want you to understand that we see the miracle of Christ's grace being worked in this nobleman's heart. Nazareth was left, but this nobleman, Christ was merciful and compassionate toward this man. Right? As it says in Luke 15:10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And that's what Christ does. He works repentance in this man's heart. All right? So I'm just emphasizing that because I want you to understand these little verses here, they have bearing on our text. All right? And the next verse is going to have bearing on those. Look at verse 45. John 4:45. Then, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, and note, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. All right, so they were there in Jerusalem, they saw the miracles that he did, and so they receive him, having seen those miracles. Nothing about having heard the things he spoke, the gracious words that he spoke, they received him because of the miracles. So consider that. It's one thing to see miracles, right, performed by the Lord in your life, to be witness to and have experienced miracles. Some of us, I'm sure, have seen things and been witness to things unexplained other than that God did it and did this miracle, which I cannot deny. But it's another thing altogether to believe because of the word of your God, right? The miracles do get our attention, but they're not the end in and of themselves. They're to lead us to the one who gave the miracle, to hear what he has to say to us and what he's saying, right? Like our Lord said in John 17, in his high priestly prayer, he prayed for those that would hear their testimony, right? His disciples that would go out into the world preaching the word and believe because of their word, right? Because of the word that they testified concerning Christ. So it's we need to hear the word of God and believe what he said. You know, we're actually told over in Revelation 13, 14, I'll read it. It's speaking of the beast that comes out of the earth. And it says that he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Right? And I'm just bringing that out to say the miracles in and of themselves are not salvation. Right? But what is he saying? He may do miracles, but if he's blaspheming God, if he doesn't speak according to the light of this word, it's because there's no light in him. Right? And if that one does speak according to this word, it's because there is light in him. So just because you can do miracles, that's nothing to glory in or to follow that one because of it. Are they speaking according to this word that God has given to us? So that's what we're listening for. That's what we're looking for, all right? So the Samaritans, they believed he was Christ because of his own word, whereas we saw in Nazareth, the Jews were offended by the word that he spoke when he declared the truth to them. But they were happy to follow him when he was doing miracles, and they were impressed when he fed some fleshly need, some carnal need that they had of him, right? Remember when he fed the 5,000? We'll get to it soon, but in John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." And what does he do? He faithfully moves to speak the word, instructing them, saying, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Right? I could stand here and recount to you numerous ways in which God revealed himself to me, doing many wonderful things and answering prayers and things I can't explain any other way. But those things fade from your memory. Those things are forgotten. Those experiences wither away and are soon forgotten. But the word of your God endureth forever. Christ never fades away. And he stands ever. And he's the one who is the hope of our salvation. We don't glory in experiences and witnessing of miracles. They're wonderful when they happen. But we glory in our God who has promised us in his word salvation by his Son. And we that look to him shall never be ashamed. Right? So that's our glory. We glory in our God who spoke his word into our hearts, giving us life and satisfaction with him. And there we stay, resting in him, regardless of whether or not we see more miracles or not. We rejoice in him, all right? So what then is the prophet's honor but that we hear his word and believe his word? That's honoring him, to believe his word, right? Even when the Jews all left Christ, all being offended at his word there in John 6, Peter says, "Lord," when the Lord asks him, "Will you also go away?" He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So we stay looking to Christ our Lord. All right, so now on to faith grown. This is our second and final point here. Look at verse 45 again, John 4:45. The Galileans received him, having seen all the miracles that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. All right, well, what did he do there at this Passover feast? Look back in John chapter 2. John 2, verse 23 through 25 tells us that when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. All right? And then John makes a point to tell us, verse 24 and 5, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. All right? So again, John is making this point here. Think about when John wrote this. This is later, at the end there of the apostles, right? When many miracles had been done in establishing the word, right? And getting the attention of the people, to see, guys, wake up. You're trusting in dead letter religion. And so these miracles came, and then those that were the Lord's listened to what they were saying when they heard the word and were settled in the gospel word. And so John's writing this now. It's the last gospel to be written, and he's now listening. I mean, he's now writing this gospel to establish us in the word. He's taking us off of hoping in and looking for miracles, right? Because we're not seeing those things where other men are just walking by and people just have to touch the hem of their garment and they're healed, right? We're not seeing that today. But we know them by the fruit, by the words that they're speaking, right? Even that, when Christ said, you'll know them by their fruit, what is it? The false teacher is trying to bring forth fruit from that corrupt, dead flesh. That's really what he's saying there in Matthew, right? You don't bring forth grapes and figs from thistles and thorns, which is the flesh, the cursed flesh. And so are they speaking the truth? Are they glorifying God and the salvation of his people by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? All right. Even Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came to Christ, he said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, because no man could do the miracles that you do except he be sent from God. And Christ said to him, what? Nicodemus, you've seen the miracles, but you must be born again. You've got to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear his voice, they shall live. Right? You've got to be born again, which is a work of the Father. It's a work of the Spirit of God, which he does for the sinner as it pleases him in the time that it pleases him to do it, right? So that we're delivered from having a confidence in this dead, filthy flesh. All right, now verse 46 and 47. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. All right, so this nobleman was either at Jerusalem and saw these miracles himself, or he heard from others that he trusted that these miracles were done by this Jesus of Nazareth. All right, and so he believed, and he believed because of the miracles that were shown to him or revealed to him, and he comes to Christ believing that Christ can heal his sick son. If only he would just come back to Capernaum with him and stand by his son's bedside and heal him, right? So at this point, you could say his confidence is in this Jesus, the miracle worker, right? He has confidence that he is a miracle worker. But I don't know how much he understood that this is Christ, the Word of God, that this is the prophet whom God said he would send, whom Moses spoke of. Right, so our Lord, he faithfully rebukes him with the word, but not to drive him away, but to instruct him and to instruct us who are here reading his word even now. Because what we'll see is the fruit of our Savior is he produces the fruit of faith, true living faith. And if he had faith, he's growing that faith in the Lord. He's teaching him. He's instructing him so that he understands more and more, oh, you're not just a miracle worker. You're the one who saves his people. You are the prophet. Nay, you are the word of God himself, whom I'm to hear. All right, so verse 48, then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Right? You're still carnal and natural and very fleshly, and you require signs and wonders to believe, right? And that's reminiscent of what he said to them in Nazareth, right? When he said, you're going to say this prophet unto me, physician, heal thyself. We want to see the things we heard that you did in Capernaum. We want to see the things that we're told of that you did elsewhere. We want to see signs and wonders that we may believe. And Christ isn't giving it to them, right? He left them. But here, he's gracious. here he's going to be gracious to this man. He's not going to leave this man in sin and darkness. He's going to deliver him in grace and mercy. All right. And so this Jewish nobleman, you know, he didn't even have the faith of that Roman centurion. Remember, the Roman centurion just came up to Christ and asked him, "Lord, heal my servant." And Christ was going to go with him. And he said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You just say the word, and I know it shall be done. Right? And so we see the power that this is not some shaman, some miracle worker. This is God in the flesh, who doesn't even need to be there. You could be on the other side of the world, and he, as God, is able to do whatsoever he wills and pleases to do. All right? And so, but this nobleman here in verse 49 saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my son die, my child die." Right? Now, his understanding of Christ is certainly limited. Right? It's certainly very limited, but he did know that Christ could heal his son. And he begged him, "Lord, heal him. Please give him life, Lord." Because if he didn't give him life, then his son was surely going to die. But our Lord does more than just heal his son. He grows this man's faith. He gives him faith and grows it. He instructs him with his word. He teaches him. He takes him off of being dependent on signs and wonders and to believe the word of God, which is what he's doing for all of his people. He's settling us in his word, in the Son. All right, so verse 50, "Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." All right, so here we see the grace of God being worked. He hears, he believes what Christ says, and he believes him. Right? He trusts what Christ says. And actually, as we read these next verses, 51 through 53, notice it's the next day that he departs to go back home. He didn't even go home immediately after that. He trusted Christ so that whatever business he had, or if he was tired, he stayed the night there and then went back the next day. Because it's really, it's about 15 to 20 miles away, depending on where you are on each side of the city. And so it's about a 4 or 5 hour walk. Maybe he could have gone home. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so he could have made it home by then. But, all right, 51, "And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday." Right? So he could have left after he spoke to Christ, but he stayed there. "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Right? Remember, in the Jewish clock, it starts at 6 a.m. typically when the sun rises, and so that would be 6 hours to noon, and the seventh hour is 1 o'clock. So it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon about when it happened. All right, verse 53, "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." All right, so what are we to hear from this? What are we to take away, as you know, from what our Lord is teaching us here? Well, what we've seen so far in John is the Lord turning the people, delivering his people out of just the trappings of carnal, fleshly religion, vain, dead letter religion, right? He's delivering us. He's showing us the sham of man-made religion and how it's insufficient to save any of us. It's not about a higher learning of things. It's about a spiritual knowledge, right? It's about salvation, being born again of the Spirit of God, which is nothing that we can effect for ourselves. He must do that. He must show us gracious. And so he's delivering us from depending on and resting upon experiences and feelings, right? Because feelings can be awful, right? Sometimes there's feelings that we think of or experiences we remember, and they make us feel happy. And then there's other times where they can make us feel sorrowful or sad, right? So we don't depend on these experiences. But our Lord, he actually says in John 5:24, he, when when he said to those Jews there, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Right? And so that's what our Father worked in each of you that believe on Christ. Right? In grace, he came to you and he gave you spiritual life, whereby you were bit with the poison and injected with the poison of sin, meaning you came to a knowledge of your death, of your spiritual death and your awful predicament. And he showed you Christ. And when you looked, you lived, which was all his work in you, all his grace working mightily in you. So, you know, do you believe Christ? Is he the Savior of his people? Yes, he is. And you that believe it, rest in Christ. Trust him. Believe his very word. Because all who believe on him, when they believe, they are saved. They are delivered from death unto life. And they that believe, we know, are testifying to the work of God's grace working in them. Because it's not by this flesh that we believe, but by his grace and power. All right? The other thing that we see in this is that we're encouraged to hear the word of God. All right? It's a blessing to be gathered to hear the word of the Lord. That's why your son wants to be here, because he wants to be gathered with the sheep. He wants to hear what the Lord is saying to his people. All right? Because that's where our Savior promises to meet his people, to bless his people, to feed his people and nourish them, and to grow their faith in him, so that we're not so dependent on fleshly carnal needs being met, but that whatever the trouble is, we believe him who spoke the word and promised that we are his, and we are settled in him, right? He does that through the preaching of the word. As it says in Romans 10, we're familiar with verse 17, but let me read verse 16 first. "But they," speaking of Israel, "have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Right? The wicked don't believe the report of God. They don't believe his word. They're excited to see signs and wonders, but they don't want to hear the word of Christ. "But to you," he says, "so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So that just like this man's faith that was so small and so tiny, he was ignorant of so many things, yet Christ spoke that word with power into his heart, and he heard and believed, and went away rejoicing, believing that Christ had healed his son, and that he came to witness it. He saw it later, but he already had the faith of God in him, right? As he was there sitting with Christ, speaking with him, or standing before him, speaking with him, Christ restored him, healed him, blessed him with faith. And so that's what he does for you, his people. He blesses you in hearing that word, and he feeds you and teaches you. All right? And so the word of our God declares that we are sinners, incapable of saving ourselves. But the word of God also declares to us him in whom is the hope of our salvation. And the joy of all God's saints is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he reveals that to you with power and glory by his Holy Spirit, giving you life to behold him and to look to him and believe on him. Right? In Acts 10:43 says, "To him give all the prophets witness, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." So I pray the Lord bless his word to your heart, and that he grow your faith and settle you in his son, just as he did for this nobleman, because that's what it is, right? We need to hear his word and believe.